Welcome to Gal Pals Watch. I'm Alicia.
I'm Sarah.
And this is a podcast where we talk about queer women in film.
Yes.
And we also happen to be gay.
Yes.
And today we are talking about the 2010 film The Runaways.
The Runaways with lesbian legend Kay Stu and little baby Dakota Fanning.
Yeah, not super baby, not like...
She was only 16 when she made this movie.
Yes, but not like I Am Sam baby Dakota Fanning.
No, yeah, you're right. Not like actual baby, but almost.
Yeah, almost baby.
Yeah, not like 6 years old like she was in I Am Sam.
But still,
she was so like cute in that movie.
She's always so cute.
I know. It's actually hard to see her as Sheree Curry because I just keep thinking like, but you're the little girl.
Yeah, it's true. And
but Sheree Curry was also a little girl, kind of.
Yeah, like she was 16 during all of this. They were all teenagers, which is like so bizarre to think about.
It is. Yeah. Anyway, we got ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, anyway. So for those of you who don't know, The Runaways was a band in the mid to late 70s. Most notable member was Joan Jett.
Yes, that was kind of her first big musical break.
Yeah.
And she was really the only one who went on to have like a big career in music.
Yeah, absolutely. So this movie kind of, not necessarily documents, but it does... I remember reading this article that the director didn't want this to be a biopic.
Yeah, I think I read that same article.
I almost said biopic, but it's not a biopic. It's not a documentary. It's just
it's just like the story of how the Runaways came together, their incredibly abusive manager, a little bit of lesbianism.
Yeah, mostly the relationship.
And yeah, it's like a group story.
Yeah, and the friendship between Joan and Sheree.
Yeah.
Sheree.
Yeah.
I keep saying Sheree or Cherry. I don't know why.
Well, I don't know why. Could it have something to do with Cherry Bomb?
Oh, right. Cherry Bomb. I actually didn't think of that until just now. Oh. Anyway.
Well, this movie was actually based on Sheree Curry's memoir, though.
Okay.
Which I have not read, but it was called Neon Angel, I think.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if it was... Oh my god, that's super weird because Dakota Fanning's little sister is in a movie called Neon Demon.
Wow, the Fanning sisters and...
And that's a kind of a gay one, too.
Oh, it is? I've never heard of it.
I just saw her this summer in concert. Jenna Malone.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Jenna Malone's cute.
That's even more of a, like, weird age difference discrepancy.
Yeah.
Especially since little... Other baby Fanning, I forget her name.
L.
She's even younger than Dakota. Yeah, and they both it's look funny. Like babies.
Yeah, they do. And they both have been acting since they were literal babies.
Babies, yeah.
And it's funny because they're both really good actors.
Oh my god, they're so fantastic.
And they've been cast in like really, really kind of, I don't know, I wouldn't say controversial necessarily. Well, Dakota Fanning was cast in a very controversial role. Not this one, but a different one.
Mm-hmm.
When she was very young.
Yeah.
And, yeah, ever since they were really young, they've gotten, like, really complex roles. And I don't know how they do it. They just... Because when they're interviewed, they act like little teenage girls.
Because they are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. They take their job really seriously. And you can tell that Dakota Fanning does that in this movie as well.
And so does Kristen Stewart.
Yes. I was blown away by Kristen Stewart in this
film. She became Joan Jett.
Yes. Absolutely. And she really, like, Joan Jett was an executive producer on this film, and she really took Kristen under her wing, and I feel like they did a lot of bonding, and there was a lot of, you know, talking about Joan's life, and probably stuff that wasn't really in the movie, but she got some...
A lot of context.
Yeah, a lot of context about her, what her life was like at that time.
Yeah.
Which I think is really important. I remember seeing... pictures of them together.
Yeah, and they look so similar.
Pictures of them on set, because Joan Jett basically looks exactly the same.
Yeah. And I was really into all of the looks, like Kay Stu with a mullet, Kay Stu with those wide shoulder pads, and like
at the end where it's getting like into the 80s.
Yeah, into the 80s.
Oh my god, she's looking like glam rock.
By the way, I should say Kristen Stewart was, I think, my very first celebrity girl crush.
Whoa.
I was obsessed with her. And when I saw
that.
Yeah.
Ooh. Juicy.
So I don't know if my sister's going to kill me for saying this, but we used to go watch the Twilight movies. Like, when they came out, we would go watch them because she had read the books and I did not read the books because what a waste of time. But
you're like, ooh, a pretty girl.
But I would always make the excuse, because I was so not out at all at that point, and I would always make the excuse that we were going for the eye candy and, like, just let people assume that I meant the guys.
Yeah.
But no, it was Kristen Stewart. I was so into watching her just do anything.
Well, and especially the thing that, like, pisses me off even more about that series is that, like, how underutilized she was as an actor.
Oh my God, I know. She's a great actor.
I know.
People get down on her because of, like, her mannerisms. She's kind of, like, a little jumpy, and in interviews she's sort of, like, she mumbles a lot, and... But I love her.
But I also, I wonder how much of that has to do with the fact that she's gay.
And I know, like,
and she had to hide it.
Yeah.
And I think
a lot of
that...
And she was really pressured to come out, and she had that whole thing where, because she was dating Robert Pattinson, then she had, like, an affair with her older male director.
I don't think
any
of that was
real. And she got blamed for all of that. You know, I don't really care.
I don't care if
I don't care about straight relationships. I'm just really excited that she is gay and out now, or whatever, queer. I don't know what she is.
She's not straight.
She's not straight, yeah.
I've been going back and forth about, like, whenever I do, like, tags for this podcast, I try to think of, like, things, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm not putting, like, bisexual or anything like that, and I just want to put, like, not straight women, because that's basically what we talk about.
Yeah, totally.
No offense to straight people. No, I don't care. Take offense.
Yeah.
It's not for you.
You guys never get offended, so it's fine.
It's not for you. Also in this movie, we were talking about it before we came here, Aaliyah Shawkat.
Aaliyah Shawkat, who is also queer in real life.
TheBomb.com. I did not
know
that.
She's so beautiful.
That
oh,
just
yeah.
made my fucking day.
Oh,
and
you
I'm
didn't
so
know
happy.
That? Oh, man. I love her so much. I heard an interview with her. I think it might have been Cameron Esposito's podcast, and they were talking about the movie Duck Butter, which we are going to watch for this
podcast eventually.
Yeah. And she was just talking about how queer she is and her whole journey of figuring herself out. I love that shit. I also love Cameron Esposito. We're just going down the gay culture hole right now.
So many holes to go down. So many holes. So many gay holes.
Don't we love the gay holes? This would be the title of this episode.
Gay holes.
Gay holes, oh no.
I'm kidding.
I take it back.
It's going to be The Runaways.
Yes, The Runaways.
Okay. I love how this movie opens.
Yeah. So.
So feminist.
Yeah. So the movie opens with a drop of period blood landing on pavement, and it's, I keep wanting to say Dakota Fanning, but it's not. It's Cherie Currie. She's getting her period for the first time. She's with her sister. And
who
actually...
is her twin sister.
Are they twins?
That, so in real life, Cherie Currie.
Okay.
Cherie Currie has a twin sister.
Okay.
But she looks way older than Dakota Fanning.
Yeah, she does. I mean, they do look a little similar.
Oh, yeah.
It's mostly the hair, I guess.
Yeah.
But, they had a great sisterly relationship. Like, it was so realistic.
Yeah, I really liked it.
I did, too. I appreciated that a lot.
Yeah, and you get the sense of their relationship from that first instance.
Oh, yeah, from the second the movie opens.
Yeah, she says, why does everything happen to you first?
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like the, oh, there's some tension there.
Yeah, and they, like, go into this, like, janky public restroom and, like, are helping each other. Well...
Wasn't it the Puppin Fries? Where?
Oh, yeah, it's where Marie works.
It's a dirty bathroom.
Yeah, also their names are Marie and Cherie.
And Marie Currie. I just realized that.
Oh!
Isn't that friggin' hilarious?
So fun. Their mom was, like, at least as portrayed in this film, was, yeah, not the greatest. But, I mean, not because of the names, it's just because she was... she wasn't a great mother.
Classic.
Anyway, I actually read this article... this interview that this guy named Jim Farber from the Daily News did with Joan Jett about the movie when it was coming out. And the fact that he's, like, a cis dude really shines through in his questions for her. But he, one of his comments in one of his questions was, this movie has real edge, the first shot is of Cherie having her period. And I was like, that's what's edgy to you. I'm like, you are such a man. Come on. Anyway,
oh,
I just wanted to say that.
I know, for something that's so commonplace for a lot of people in this world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that is laughable, I know. To be honest. It's not edgy.
No. It's like, I guess, just normal life, sorry.
And especially since...
Not sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's... I don't even... Like, I wouldn't even consider it edgy to be, like... I don't know, to come up in a movie or something like that. I don't know. No. Like, I kind of get what he's saying because it's not something that's, like... It's not shown a lot in movies, but at the same time, it's, like... That's not an edgy part of life.
No.
That doesn't make you edgy.
And the other thing he asked her... I wrote this down word for word. So he asked... How do you feel about the way, he says, how do you feel about the way that the lesbian sex / lust is portrayed in the film? Publicly, you never talk about your sexuality. And then Joan Jett answered, this is obviously something that the director, whose name is Floria Sigismondi.
Yeah, Sigismondi.
Okay.
Sigismondi.
This is obviously something that the director wanted to focus on. I focus on the music. It doesn't bother me one way or another that it's there. I'm not uncomfortable with it, but that doesn't mean it's something I'm going to discuss. And I think to me that really dates this interview, actually. Because, well, I mean, I don't know about Joan Jett and like how open she is with her sexuality, but... And obviously everyone can make their own decisions about that. But I feel like 2010, that was 8 years ago.
I was
Gay
shocked.
Marriage was not legal.
I was shocked by that as well. I was like, holy shit, that was 8 years ago?
Yeah.
When I was looking up this. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot has changed.
And there was, so in the movie there's one kiss scene and then there's something that's referred to as a sex scene, which I guess you could refer to it like that.
It's ambiguous,
I think. It's so ambiguous. Like, you really don't. You just have to assume.
Yeah.
It's just implied, basically.
Yeah.
It's not... Yeah. And I remember watching that as a very closeted gay and being so fascinated by it because I'd never seen a kiss scene like that with two women, and also had a massive crush on Kristen Stewart.
Yeah.
Which I did not acknowledge, but it was there. And,
it was there.
And I remember thinking, like, oh, wow, like, this is so, I mean, I don't want to say edgy because that's what that dude said in the article.
You know what? I wrote that it was erotic.
Yes. Erotic is a good word. The kiss was erotic.
The kiss is erotic.
The quote-unquote sex scene was not.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, the sex scene is just,
yeah,
it's whatever.
And I looked up a ton of interviews at the time. Mm-hmm. Because I was obsessed with this movie. I, like, bought it on iTunes the minute it was released.
Nice.
Oh, my God. It's just, in retrospect, it's just... Anyway, that's not the point. The point is that I looked up a bunch of interviews with Kristen Stewart and Dakota Fanning, and there was one where they asked about this kiss, and they made a big deal about it. They were like, oh, my gosh, like,
yeah,
you kissed, and Kristen Stewart said this really cool thing where she was like, yeah, well... You know, like, they were kind of in this place where they were just taking what they wanted.
Absolutely.
Just, like,
they are.
Doing what they wanted.
Yeah.
And whatever was in front of them that they wanted, they just did it. And I don't know. It just, like, that way that they were uninhibited. In a lot of ways, they were inhibited. They were,
yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Really, it was not a great time for, like, women in general, especially women who wanted to do things like play rock and roll music,
yeah,
which was quote unquote the sport of men, according to their absolutely horrible manager.
I thought that scene, what I thought was interesting, and I wrote it down, is that they're surrounded by men, but
yeah,
they're not doing it for men.
Mm-hmm. Joan, it was not very male gazy.
Yeah, Joan is just... In a sense, and not in a bad way, but she's, like, taking and she's doing what she wants. She's...
And so is Cherie.
Yeah, absolutely, because, I mean, she does, you know, consent and... Mm-hmm.
Well, sort of. I mean, she doesn't...
I mean, later on.
Oh, like, later on, yeah.
They have maybe sex.
Yeah.
So it's, like, she's clearly, like, into it.
Right, yeah.
But also, yeah, I do want to clarify that. They're both, like, high as fuck.
Oh, yeah. They're on drugs for most of this movie.
Yeah. And to the point where, like...
Especially Cherie.
Yeah. I was a little confused, like, when Cherie started using drugs. Because me too. When they first... when she
it
first,
seemed very fast.
Yeah. And when she first meets their awful manager, Kim Fowley, she seems, like, high at the time. But I think she's just kind of, you know, a child of the 70s and a child of David Bowie.
Yeah, just very... she's very much a child of David Bowie. And it's really interesting because... her character is such a mix of, like, innocent and, like, just kind of trying to be really grown up. And when she does that talent show in the beginning of the movie...
so good.
That
iconic
scene is so funny because she's lip-syncing to a David Bowie song. She looks amazing. Her outfit is, like, on point. Yeah. Marie helps her with her makeup. The makeup looks amazing. She cuts her own hair, still looks amazing. And she's up there kind of dancing in sort of this timid way, but she's also super confident at the same time.
Yeah, she's doing these, like, really wild moves, and they're,
But they're also restrained in a way. I don't know, she's, like, it's, like, a lot of slow movements with, like, her hand up and down.
Mm-hmm. But then there are some that are, like, jumpy, like,
that's
when
true.
She's doing a... like, she's basically squatting.
Yeah, that's true, you're right.
And then...
she does that again in,
yeah, it
in
is
Japan
a bit
when
strange.
They go to Japan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is a bit strange, and I don't know if that is from the, like, a music video or something.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't know.
I know that the director of this movie made a lot of music videos.
Yeah, she's a music video director, which I think was actually a really good idea.
Yeah, for sure.
To hire someone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She also lit the whole thing in a really cool way.
Yeah, I read an article about how, like, you know, she played with color a lot in this film, and it's
That kiss scene in particular, it's like blue, and then it immediately turns red.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. And the music,
We can, oh my god, I have so many thoughts right now.
Yeah.
But let me finish the color one. So the beginning and end of this movie are really bright. And then it gets progressively darker.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And kind of like whitewashed. By the time they get to, I remember reading an article, it said by the time they get to Japan, it's metallic.
Yes.
It's like very gray, metallic.
Yeah.
And then it just, by the end, it gets back to the color of the 70s.
Yeah. I guess it's the 80s at that point.
That's true. At the 80s.
But the other thing I wanted to say about the lip sync thing at the beginning of the movie, the talent show, is that you can hear her voice.
Yeah.
It's, like, really soft.
Yeah.
So she's lip syncing into a microphone that's not on. Mm-hmm. But you can, like, as the viewer of the movie, you can, like, hear... this really soft whisper of, like, the lyrics that she's also almost singing.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, like, a really cool choice because...
yeah, they could have edited that out or something. But...
well, I think they put it in on purpose. They asked her to do that.
And that's what I mean. It's like, yeah, they could have edited it out and made it seem like she was just lip-syncing. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it gives her this, like, kind of, like, polished, unfinished quality because she's fucking 15 years old and she's doing that.
Yeah. That's why, I mean, one of the reasons why I really hate Kim Fowley because he is just a disgusting human who is exploiting the shit out of these young girls.
Yeah. And he knows it. And he,
And he has no shame about it at all.
No, he has no shame. He wants to make money off them.
Yeah.
And he went on
and he sexualizes the shit out of them.
Yeah. And he... I mean, he went on to produce, like, other big bands, like Kiss. But when you're dealing with teenage girls and not grown men, it's, like, a completely different game. And I know that later on in the film, he said that the Runaways were a rock and roll project that failed.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And I don't believe that was the case.
Oh, no, not at all.
Because I think he wasn't... I don't know. I don't think he's smart enough to think of it as a project. I think he just saw an opportunity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
And he just wanted to benefit off of it.
Yeah.
So it's just
that was really clear.
I'm kind of fucking bullshit on him.
Yeah. He was such an asshole.
Yeah. Man.
Throughout the entire thing. Anyway.
And it's like, Joan really liked him.
Yeah. And even in interviews, actually it might have been that same interview in the Daily Mail, or Daily News, where... even today, or not today, but, like, in 2010 when this interview happened, Joan kind of defended her friendship with him, and she was like, yeah, both Cherie and I are still friends with him, and, you know, like, I know he didn't hate the movie because I would have heard about it or something like that. And I was like, really? Why? I mean, I guess they could have dramatized his character a lot, but at the same time, I just feel like...
I doubt it. I think it was probably pretty
even if
legit.
They did, like, I'm sure it was still pretty fucked up.
Yeah, and there are some, like, elements that I did like that he did, like, kind of, like, tough love aspects in terms of, like, getting those boys to, like, pick up trash.
Yeah,
and, like,
I mean, that was kind of creative.
And, yeah, and, yeah. like, a heckling kind of environment.
Heckling practice.
Yeah, so they get used to, like, people being jerks to them, yeah. and that's, like, that makes sense. But, like, other times when he's, like, when Cherie's first in the trailer and they're working, he's, like, he tells her to sing like she wants to have an orgasm.
Yeah.
And, like, I can't really say that at 15, like, I really knew what that felt like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's, like, I don't know. He's trying to put the whole face of, I don't know, he's trying to put the whole face of rock and roll onto this group that is totally subverting it. And he keeps saying, you need to think like men. You need to think like men.
Yeah, he does keep saying that. And he's,
but that, I feel like that's not the case.
Yeah,
like,
he's like, all these fuckboys, and they're in their mom's basements. I want to see the scratch marks down their backs. I want them to, like, be thinking of you when they come and stuff like that. And it's just like, whoa, dude, like, chill out a little bit.
Yeah, when really it's like, we don't want to make these, or I don't know. I don't know why in terms of feminism, it's this idea of making women masculine instead of flipping the rhetoric and saying, what about this culture do we like and can keep and still make it rock and roll, but also change it and not just because you're girls singing.
Yeah.
I don't know. So there was just, like, part of it that I was, like, it made me really think, and I wish I were just a little bit smarter so I can really develop this thesis.
Yeah. Well, I mean, masculinity and femininity and how they're, like, basically only defined in opposition to each other, it's pretty interesting and trippy thing to think about.
Man. All the gay holes.
All the gay holes. Oh, God. Okay.
Oh, gosh.
Anyways.
Anyway. Yeah,
I wrote down nothing Kim Fowler says makes sense. Or Fowley, sorry.
Yeah. He's nuts. Like, and I'm sure he's also, like, coked up all the time, too. Everyone was.
Yeah.
But,
Yeah, drugs were a big part of rock and roll, I guess.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, especially during that time. It was a big part of almost, like, everyone's life, I feel like. Mm. You know, cocaine got really big around that time.
Yeah.
Ooh. How did you feel about the relationship between the girls in the band?
All the girls together?
Yeah.
I actually really liked it. I thought it was, like, pretty realistic to what I would have expected.
Mm-hmm.
They were all kind of different, but they liked hanging out with each other. I think, for me, one of the things, a lot of the relationship was, the relationship stuff among the girls was focused on Joan and Cherie.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I really liked was the Farrah Fawcett masturbation scene.
Oh my gosh, yes, with Sandy.
Yeah, with Sandy. I really liked Sandy a lot.
Sandy is, like, low-key basically my favorite character in this.
And she's just, like, so smiley and just, like, I mean, not that you have to be smiley to be great, but she just...
It's kind of, look, Kim Fowley's explanation of her was really good. It's like Miss America with a joint in her mouth. And actually, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, she's super sweet, but she's also, like, super chill.
And she's a badass.
Yeah.
Badass drummer.
Yeah. And she
and, like,
and
nothing
Joan,
embarrasses her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she and Joan stayed with the band. They're the only two members that stayed with the band the whole time. They started it and ended it together.
Yeah.
So
they were the only two in the beginning.
Yeah.
It was just the two of them.
Yeah. Which I loved those scenes where they're in the garage and just, like, jam banding it out.
And Joan's, like, screaming.
Yeah.
And Sandy's just, like, pounding on the drums.
And they're being teenage girls.
Yeah.
You know, they're kind of goofing off, but also trying to make something.
Yeah. But that scene with the showerhead.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was great.
Sandy's gay awakening.
Yeah, it was Sandy's gay awakening. And I don't know. It just, like, for me, I never had that kind of, specifically that kind of friendship where, like, I would have been trying to masturbate and, like, having my friend help me. I don't know. I've never done that before. But it spoke to, like, the intimacy of female friendships because they weren't involved with each other.
No.
No, they were just friends, and they were, like, living this sort of quote-unquote rock and roll life, and Sandy was, like, trying to get off to these magazines of, like, men, and she was like, it's not working, and Joan was just like, yeah. She was like,
who do you have a crush on?
Yeah, who do you have a crush on?
Think of who you have a crush on.
Yeah, and Sandy couldn't think of someone, and then she was like, what about Farrah Fawcett, you like her? And Sandy was like, yeah, who doesn't? And then you suddenly hear her like, oh, she's like moaning, it's so funny.
Yeah, it's like, and it's also that funny, like, gay thing, where it's like, yeah, who doesn't?
I know.
You think of, like, yeah, but some girls don't like her the way you do.
Yeah, yeah.
They just think she's, like, they want to look like her.
Yeah.
Not, like, want to be inside her.
Or have her inside
or
her.
Or something like that.
Yeah. Something along those lines. What did you think about the relationships between the band members?
I really wish there was more of a Leah Shawkat's character.
Me too.
Even though she was purely fictional.
Because, oh, really?
Yeah. So, basically, who was it? Whoever the bass player
Lita?
Is. No, the oh. bass player in The Real Runaways. There were three of them.
Oh.
And the last name, Fox. That's all I wrote down here. She did not want to be involved in the movie. She didn't want to be involved in anything. So, Robin Robbins is a fake.
Okay. Got
I think
it.
That's her name. Robin. Yeah.
Yeah, Robin Robbins.
Robin Robbins. And I think because she was fictional, like, they didn't do much with her.
Mm.
Which is so sad, because Aaliyah Shawkat is so...
Oh, my God.
Wonderful.
She's a gem.
Lita Ford was a total asshole.
Yeah, she was.
I don't know. Yeah,
but
I'm
we
sure...
never... Like, her character was so undeveloped.
Exactly.
So
she was
we
just,
don't know
she was just playing
that, really.
a bitch.
Yeah.
She
was really there to be an antagonist to Cherie, especially at the end.
Exactly. Because they needed a way to... I mean, this happened in real life, but they needed a way for it to, like, for them to break up.
Yeah.
And really, this happened over several years, which you don't necessarily get in the film.
No, because
at
you
all.
Kind of, the film kind of starts out a little slow where, like, none of them know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then they sort of slowly form this band. They're, like, practicing, they're playing house gigs. And then, like, they go on their first tour. And then all of a sudden, they're, like, in Japan.
But
and
that happened over a span of, like, 4 years.
Oh, man.
In real life. So it's, like...
Yeah.
You have no idea of that in the movie.
No, you really think it happens,
I actually
overnight.
Don't even know why they put that... It started in 1975. There was, like, two things in here that they say. Like, it opens up saying 1975. And then there's another title thing that says 8 months later. And it's, like, what's the fucking point of this?
Yeah.
Like...
It's weird.
it's a little strange.
Mm.
I end up writing so many quotes in this. One of the things that I hated about Lita was one of the first things she says to Cherie is like, we don't play that shit.
Oh, yeah.
And because she comes in with the Peggy Lee song.
Right.
Peggy Lee's Fever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, you gotta like... Yeah, she's not, like, hardcore rock and roll right now, but that doesn't mean you have to be, like, hardcore all the time.
Yeah.
You can, like, you know, something that's a bit slower.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know. She's just, like you said, an antagonist.
Yeah.
And one of the things I like that Kim Fowley said, it says this, it's not about women's lib, it's women's libido.
Yeah.
And
when he said that, I was like, actually, you're talking about men's libido.
That is true.
Yeah.
Man.
Like, you don't give a shit about women, I'm
That's
sorry.
That's a thought. Yeah, because, and the reason why I said I liked it was because I laughed at it. Because I was like, this is all about women's lib.
Yeah.
Like, and he's saying it like it's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, women's lib is,
and
you're supposed to be in this blood sport of this male-dominated
Yeah, he
society.
Does call it a blood sport.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, too, because going back to all those interviews I watched of Dakota Fanning and Kristen Stewart, when they were interviewed... one of the things they said a lot was that they thought it was really interesting to portray women in this time period where they weren't able to do whatever they wanted because, like, Kristen Stewart and Dakota Fanning, they were like, grew up in a time where we could do whatever we wanted. And I thought that was really interesting because it's like, no, they didn't.
No.
Like,
I think they'll realize, or if they haven't
already realized. Sure they have at this point. They probably knew at the time, too. It's just like, or I don't know, maybe they didn't.
Yeah. You're,
it's just like what they're supposed to say. Yeah. But to me, that was kind of like, I don't know. It's kind of shitty because it really perpetuated this idea that, like, sexism is over.
Yeah.
And it's not. Near. No, obviously not.
Yeah, nowhere near over.
Yeah.
But, yeah, watching this movie made me, like, oh, my God. Like, it was fucking terrible. And it makes me think, like, you know, my parents were, they're basically the same age as them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think of, like, all the little things that, like, my parents say about, like, gender. And I'm like, oh, that's why. Like, yeah. All these people are doing basically the same. They all have the same thoughts. And it's, like, it's just their product of their times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's so much about gender in this film that I feel like you could write a whole paper on it.
I mean, David Bowie was, like, the ultimate gender playground dude. Yeah. Like, he really played around with that kind of stuff, gender expression. And so it was cool when he was doing it.
Yeah, because,
and
like,
Prince did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like Kim says, there are fuckboys wearing dresses and leaving lipstick on
each other's socks.
And
it's not exactly like the nicest thing, but
it seems to be sort of like fashionable and cool for men to do it, but if women try to gender bend, there's something wrong with that.
Yeah.
And that kind of, they kind of talk about that a bit, and yeah, they do get hassled a lot.
Yeah.
Remember those grown men in that,
when they were setting up?
Yeah. So they're setting up, they're doing a sound check, and these two older men, I would say like probably close to 40, just come up and they're like, sound check's over. They're basically just telling them to like shut up for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, we don't really know why.
Yeah.
They are the headliners, but.
Yeah. And then is it Joan who's like, one day you're going to be opening for us? And they say like, Sandy's opening your legs or whatever. And that's just like,
disgusting. Yeah. But Joan pees on their
guitar, that was so funny.
She's like, I gotta go.
God, I just, every scene with Joan, I just think about myself just watching this movie and being so in love with Kristen Stewart. I was so smitten with her.
I just, also, I just can't get over, like, the amount of drugs in this film.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where...
Well, it was the 70s. It was, like, peak drug use.
But it's, like, you have to assume the whole time that they are on drugs.
Yeah.
Because, like...
Especially Cherie. I don't think they all were all the time. Most of the time, maybe.
I try to think of, like, where's the beginning of it? And I think maybe the beginning is actually at that same venue.
Well...
She's, like... She's kissing the roadie guy.
Yeah.
And he gives her pills.
That's right. You're right.
I don't know if that is the real beginning or anything like that, but she ends up giving pills to Sandy and Joan right before they go on stage.
Well, Joan, in the very beginning, she has that best friend girl.
Yeah.
And they're, like, huffing paint and whatever.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's what they're doing.
Yeah. Okay. That was, they were so cute.
They are very cute. And I'm glad she sticks around to the end, too. And they're still, they're still friends.
Yeah. They're makeout buddies.
They are.
They're so cute.
Man. Yeah, there was so much of this movie that was, like, it still, like, got my heart racing as, like, I, like, it would, as if I were a teenager.
It feels like, very much like that.
Like, they're kissing and it's, like, I don't know. Even when, like, her friend, Joan's friend, kisses her. I forget her name. I don't even know if they say it.
I know. I'm not sure if she's even named.
I don't know. But, yeah, when she kisses her and she says, I'm the wild one.
Yeah.
Referencing the song.
Right.
And it's just, like, it's kind of sweet. And it's, like, ooh, like, I can't believe that happened.
And they, like, giggle. It's so, like, cute. Yeah. It's, like, very much that teenage feeling of, like, whoa.
Yeah. And then they just kind of, like, shake it off. And they just keep going with their thing. And Yeah, it's just... It's awesome.
I love when Joan goes to get that guitar lesson from that. She's, like, so hunched over. It's, like, a real, physical characteristic where her shoulders are really hunched and she kind of walks, like, just really hunched over and her neck is down, her head is down, and she goes to get this guitar lesson, which I'm not even sure why or, like, where that is. It's some music school.
Yeah.
And the guy tries to teach her on top of Old Smokey on acoustic, and she's like, no, I want to learn Smoke on the Water. I know you know that song.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of amps you got? And he was like, girls don't play electric guitar.
Yeah.
And then she just, like, plugs it in and, like, blows him away with this noise. It's really funny.
I wonder how much of, and I wrote this down, I wonder how much of this movie was a sexual awakening for Kristen Stewart.
Oh. See, this is the kind of thing where, like...
It's something that I will never figure out.
No, and we'll never know, and we shouldn't know. It's none of our business.
No, it's none of our business, but, like...
But it's still kind of fun to think about.
I still want to talk about it.
I know.
Or it's like... I don't know. And I'm sure she knew ahead of time, but a movie like this must have felt really empowering to her, especially after the Twilight franchise.
I know.
Holy shit.
Yeah, what a mess.
And that was... This was something that, like... I remember I hadn't thought very highly of Kristen Stewart because of Twilight.
Yeah.
And I was just like, whatever. And her acting wasn't very great. She didn't have much to work with in those movies.
No.
So I was like, oh, well, she definitely looks the part. She definitely looks like Joan Jett, so we'll see.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I was definitely blown away, and I was...
It was kind of a sexual awakening for me, this movie. Little bit. I mean, yeah.
At least for me, in terms of Kristen Stewart being like, oh, yeah. Definitely into that.
Yeah.
Still into
I
it.
Think that was also when, like, the world started thinking, like, oh, she's probably gay.
And
it was, like, a lesbian meme for a really long time before she came out, where people were like, just come home, Kristu. We're waiting for you.
I remember there being there was something on Tumblr that was this, like, picture of Jodie Foster, and she's, like, wagging her finger at Kristen Stewart.
Oh, because they were in a movie together.
Yeah, Panic Room, which is, like, one of my favorite movies of all time.
That's a good one. She was really young. She was, like, 13 in
very young. And it said, keep calm and stay in the closet, because Jodie Foster was notorious for never coming out until officially her Golden Globe speech, which was probably, like... I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Okay.
So
not as recently as
but, and the way she did it was fucking amazing. She said, I did my coming out a long time ago. And I was just like, yes, thank you, God.
It wasn't like Ellen Page where she was like, I'm here today because I'm gay.
Which is fine, but.
Yeah, that was the moment the entire world fell in love with Ellen Page.
Oh, I loved her before that.
I did too.
She
also had strong gay vibes.
Oh, so many. They both have gay face.
Which is a compliment, by the way.
It is a compliment.
Biggest compliment.
I have a little bit of gay face. That's a self-love comment.
Yes. I think I do now that my hair is short.
Definitely.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. You look really gay.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That made my heart grow 10 sizes.
Oh my gosh. Part of this that I felt like was missing, part of this movie that I felt like was missing was Joan's family.
Yeah, she get a lot of Cherie's family, and which I guess makes sense since it's based on her memoir.
Yeah.
She's got a rough family life. Her mom moved to Indonesia just like one day, decided to go there with her new husband. Yeah, her dad's an alcoholic.
He, I assume, has like cirrhosis of the liver or something like
that. Yeah, he's like dying basically.
Yeah. Does he die in the film? I forget.
He doesn't die, but he's about to. Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't show that part, but...
Yeah, he's super
meanwhile,
close
she's
to death.
Taking, like, a fuck ton of drugs and really, like...
And his
descending
drugs.
Fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, she takes every... Like, any drug she can find.
Yeah.
She becomes an addict very fast.
Yeah. It's nuts.
Yeah.
The only thing that we get from Joan's family is that... I don't know. I assumed that she had lived with her mom because she says... her dad left and he was a strict one, so she doesn't have a curfew or anything
that. That was the only time it ever came up, I think.
We don't hear anything about her mom. And at this point, she's only 16 or 17. She's only a year older than Cherie. Cherie, Jesus. So it's like this minor child is like alone? Question mark?
Yeah, it's funny because they were all minors, right? When they first started going on tour, so there must have been... Well, maybe not. I mean, legally, there probably should have been some kind of consent form or something.
Yeah, perhaps there was. I think probably by the time they got a record deal, they were all 18.
Okay.
But Yeah, I don't know the real timeline of that. You can look at Wikipedia for that.
It's interesting because I looked up how old the actors were. Dakota Fanning was 16 and Kristen Stewart was 20.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I mean, 4 years doesn't sound like a lot, but like 16 to 20 is a big,
you do a lot of growing in that time.
So I don't know. Anyway, it's not like they were together in real life. But yeah. Obviously.
I remember thinking that too when I was, when this first came out, I was like, oh, that must have been a little awkward.
Yeah.
But whatever, you're actors.
Yeah. And they're both great actors, so they did it. And at that point, even though she's only 16, Dakota Fanning had done so many, like, harrowing things on screen.
She's done crazier shit.
That was, like, tame for her. Yeah. So.
So, also part of this that I didn't really like is Joan was kind of a douchebag.
You know, I thought that, too.
I thought it, like, sometimes.
The more I watched this movie, the more empathy I had for her. And the more I kind of saw a lot of her behavior as just kind of, like, lovesick a little bit. Like, when Cherie's in the hospital, and Joan's the only one there.
Yeah.
And she, like, lies in the bed with her. And that scene just, like, almost made me cry because it was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I just love her so much.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. I guess I'm just trying to separate the fact that, like, Joan is trying so hard to live in this rock and roll world and such a like male dominated place, and she really is sometimes thinking like a guy,
but
I think she's struggling with that too because she clearly like wants to just be herself and does have those moments of like, you know, she really does love Cherie and Cherie, my God, I can't say it right.
Okay.
She really does love her and she does care about her. Yeah, she's always there for
and
her.
I think that comes across as, because I think a lot of her like outward personality is just it's like a lot of armor, like a big defensive shell because she's been through a lot and they all have, but like you can really see her kind of grappling with that, I feel like, where she does have that armor up and she's like combative sometimes, and then sometimes she like tries to be really tender.
She is a very tender person.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So there's a lot of depth there, which is nice.
How do you feel about kind of like the downfall of the group?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how it played out in real life, if, like, the photos of Cherie were really the catalyst for that. It seemed like they were in the movie. Although, I guess what that kind of spiraled into, they were in the studio again, and Cherie refused to sing.
But at that point, she had enough, and she was going through so much at that time. Her dad is close to death. Yeah, and she has a lot on her plate, and she's finally realizing that
she read that article, because Kim, like, did this interview where he, like, basically trashed her completely.
Said that she should kill herself.
Yeah.
That's
right. He did say that.
He said she should hang herself.
Yeah.
And even, like, the whole band, except for probably Lita, is like, that's so fucked up.
Yeah.
Man. Like, why would you ever do that? And he just says, like, it's publicity. Publicity.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just getting, this is what the people love. They love to hear this stuff. They love to hear, you know, the drama. And I don't know if he knew at that moment, like, what exactly he was doing. And, like, this was a turning point. It was going to end.
Yeah.
It was so disgusting.
What a trash human.
Yeah. And, yeah, the band's super upset. Joan says, you're not Linda fucking Lovelace. Which I just want to say, if you haven't watched Lovelace on Netflix, it's very good.
I have not watched it.
Okay, Linda Lovelace was a porn star.
Oh, okay.
And it has Amanda Seyfried. I don't forget how to say her name.
You know, I think she's good. Does she do lesbian stuff in it? I've seen Amanda Seyfried do some lesbian stuff, just
and
clips
she's
on YouTube.
And Chloe.
I literally have no idea where it's from.
In Chloe. With
Julianne. Oh, okay, yep, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, talk about another age difference.
Yeah, but that movie was hot as fuck.
Oh man, I gotta watch it.
And Joan also says, publicize the music, not your crotch. But I'm like, she's so fucking young. She doesn't know any better. And like,
she only did that because people showed up at her door and were like, hey, Kim Fowley sent us. Put this on. We're going to take pictures. And she's like, okay.
Yeah, Kim Fowley literally calls her, compliments her, and then says, oh, by the way, there's going to be a Japanese magazine coming over to your house to take
photos. Like, she didn't realize what was happening
at
all.
She doesn't know.
And she'd been on this whole whirlwind. She was like, well, I guess this is just part of it, and just did it without really thinking, I think. Or without, I don't know. She just did what Kim told her, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Which it's like,
and to an extent, they all did.
And when you don't know any, you don't know any better.
Right.
They're so young.
Yeah.
And they've never done this before. They don't.
Yeah,
know.
And they have sudden like notoriety everywhere. They're so famous and.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a lot.
I really felt for Cherie's sister.
Me too.
Marie. And it's so weird that, like, by the end of the film, she starts looking more and more like Cherie. At the beginning of her Runaways career, like, she ends up, and it's also just, you know, a product of the late 70s, but she has, like, feathered hair, she has really thick makeup on.
Yeah.
Very similar, like, almost like stage makeup.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I really felt for her because she has to deal with this, like, absolute shitstorm.
Yeah.
And her
sister. And meanwhile, Cherie, she's off. You know, supposedly living this glamorous life, which it wasn't as glamorous as it seemed from the outside.
Yeah, and she, like, fakes it.
Yeah, she does fake. She straight up lies.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then she tells Marie that she can come with them on tour, but then she can't.
Out.
And so she keeps leaving, and,
it's just
kind of heartbreaking.
I feel like everyone in her life has basically left her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, her mom leaves...
Yeah,
for Indonesia.
Their mom, like, doesn't care about them.
Her sister leaves her. Her dad's
dying.
Her dad is there, but he's only there because he can't, like, physically do anything else because he's dying.
Yeah.
And she has to, I'm sure, take care of her grandmother and her aunt and her dad, and it's like, that's so much for a kid to go through.
Yeah, meanwhile, she's sleeping on the couch.
it's rough.
Yeah. And working at Puffin Fries.
Yeah. But
and she has a horrible boyfriend, too. We only see him in the beginning.
In the beginning. Oh, my God. I feel like fingers are in the car.
Yeah.
In front of her sister. That's disgusting.
Yeah, and then he, like, reaches back and touches her face because Marie tells him that she got her first period or something.
Oh,
and he's
God.
Like, oh, you're a woman. We should fucking celebrate. It's like, ew. I'm going to throw up.
But she is a really great sister. And
yeah. They have a great relationship.
Yeah, she tries to reconcile, and she... meets Cherie in rehab and, you know, tries to, you know, reconcile everything in Cherie's life and try to fix it all for her.
Yeah.
And I know from just, like, reading articles and whatnot that they did end up doing an album together.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Which is, like, oh, good. I'm glad, like, she kind of got some fame and some notoriety because she had, like, that's all she really wanted.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, and her sister.
And I think she wanted to do something with her sister because they always did everything together.
Yeah, it was mostly about...
So, like, suddenly she was left out. I think she really wanted to be a part of it, and so I'm glad that they were able to make that happen.
Yeah, she wanted something with her sister, which is really sweet.
Mm.
And
I think Cherie wanted that, too. It's just that. I guess. Yeah, she
rock and roll got in the way.
Yeah. Rock and roll got in the way. She didn't have a lot of control over the situation, despite maybe thinking she did.
And then what did you think of the end of the film?
It was sweet.
It was very sweet.
Yeah. So Joan's getting interviewed on this radio show, and she's wearing this hot pink jacket with big shoulder pads. And,
so 80s.
Like, yeah, bright lipstick. And Cherie's working in, like, a bakery or something.
I have no idea.
Yeah, she's working in some kind of store or something. She's at work. She hears it on the radio, and she calls in to talk to her. And I thought the host was really funny because he was like, he's like, oh, Cherie. That was his voice.
Yeah.
He was like, you two must have a lot to talk about. And then they were just silent. And then he goes, maybe not over the air. And then they were both just like, it was good to talk to you. And they both kind of smiled, and it was sweet.
I doubt this really happened. I wish
it did. Oh, I doubt it, yeah. It was a nice wrap-up to the movie,
though.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
Especially since Crimson and Clover plays.
I know, I've had that song stuck in my head ever since.
That song, I listened to as a teenager over and over and over again because she talks about her love for a woman.
Yeah.
And we're to assume it's about Shuri.
Yeah.
When they connect the two. And, oh my god, I friggin' love that song so much.
Speaking of Joan Jett lesbian connections, which is really only a personal connection, did you ever watch that Britney Spears road trip movie? God, what was that called? Crossroads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in a very long time,
They like did karaoke to that song, I Love Rock and Roll. They did karaoke to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just had a big crush on all the women in that movie. There was no lesbianism in that movie at all. It was the least queer thing you ever could possibly see.
So much friendship
happening. Yeah, but I loved it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's beside the point.
In general, I really like this film. There were some things I didn't like and I think could have improved on, which was especially, like, the timing. Like, the story timing, like we were saying before.
Yeah, like the pacing of it.
Yeah, I have a hard time figuring out, like, how long this took place over. Like, how many years or, you know, stuff like that. Because it all seemed to happen so fast. But when you look it up, it was over, you know, several years.
Yeah.
So that's, like, you know, one thing that I would probably change about this movie. But otherwise, oh my god, I fucking love it.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
If it was made today, I think they would have been a lot more explicit with the queer stuff. Specifically, the sex scene, I think, would have been probably more...
Yeah, because the sex scene, like...
It's basically just their faces in blurry.
Yeah, it's super they're blurry. High. Yeah, and I think it's too similar to, you know, tell the audience member, like, they are high.
Yeah.
Or drunk.
And they're probably having orgasms.
Yeah.
They still have their roller skates on.
I was going to say. Shuri definitely has her roller skates on.
Yeah, she doesn't take them off till the next morning.
But definitely has a sort of, like, O-face, so we assume that something is
But,
happening.
Like, only sort of, and it's just really brief glimpse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure I think, actually, the first time I saw that movie, I didn't really know what was happening at that point.
Something sexy.
Yeah. I had no idea how lesbians had sex, either.
Oh.
I didn't really allow myself to think about lesbians that much because I was afraid.
Yeah, you were very closeted.
I was.
Yeah.
Poor sad me.
But now you're happy.
Now I'm happy.
You're gay.
Yes. Indeed.
Alrighty. So definitely check this movie out.
Yeah, I would highly recommend.
And if you love movie soundtracks, definitely check this out.
Oh, the music
There's
is awesome.
So many good songs in this from the time period. Oh my god. So amazing. Starry, Starry Night was one of them. Rebel, Rebel.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
I don't know if this is the actual song title, but Do You Want to Touch?
Yeah.
I love that song.
I love that song, too. And it's like, what's the Suzy Quatro one?
I don't know, but it's like the wild one.
I can't keep score.
Yeah, it's the wild one one.
Oh, yeah, wild one. That's what it is.
Yeah, I just wrote like little music notes in my note. In my
I knew you'd notice all the music because music's your thing.
And yeah, I just love it. Oh, this is a man's world.
Oh,
that happens after the
After the guitar lesson.
Scene. I was like, ooh, they're on it. Mm-hmm. Ready to win it.
Yeah. So this movie wins.
Yeah.
10 out of 10. 8 out of 10. Totinos.
Totinos. I knew you were. You are my Totino.
Ah, yes. And if you don't know what Totinas are, do yourself a favor and look it up. It's relevant to this movie specifically.
Yeah. Was it Kate McKinnon and Kristen Stewart?
Was it Kate McKinnon? No, I think it was someone else. It was a different Saturday Night Live person.
Well, look up Totino Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. You
Actually,
will be disappointed.
Was it Kristen Stewart?
It was, yeah.
Okay.
That's why it's relevant to this movie.
Oh my god, it's so funny.
Oh my god, can you imagine if K-Stew and
Kate McKinnon
kissed. That'd be awesome.
I can't even think about it. My brain's exploding.
Yeah. Make it happen, world. It can happen in a movie.
And speaking of things you should look up, please email us.
Yes.
At galpalswatch@gmail.com. Or find us on Instagram at galpalswatch.
Twitter at galpalswatch.
And Tumblr at galpalswatchthepodcast.
We're everywhere.
We're everywhere. We're here.
We're here, we're queer.
We are gay! Have a wonderful day. Thank you for listening.
See you next week.
See ya!